Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. In recent years, the topic of bioidentical hormones in the treatment of menopause has been controversial in the field of anti-aging medicine. Our featured guest today is Dr. David Rosensweet, MD. Dr. Rosensweet is a leading expert in the use of bioidentical hormones in menopause. Dr. Rosensweet will discuss the myth of no treatment, that refusing hormones in menopause will keep you safe, is really a myth. Dr. Rosensweet will share his thoughts and expert opinion on why he feels that the benefits of bioidentical hormones outweighs the risks.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word. healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, what are the main causes of high blood pressure? Well, diet is mostly due to high salt intake, and in countries such as the United States, where Western diet is consumed, it is estimated that we eat up to 10 times the amount of salt that we actually need. For example, in America, the sodium intake for 9 out of 10 adults is well above the recommended daily intake. High fat intake is another reason for having high blood pressure. By switching from a typical Western diet and lifestyle to a more active lifestyle with lower fat and salt intake and more plant foods, many people are able to lower their blood pressure levels. Being overweight or obese also causes high blood pressure, and being overweight or obese increases your risk of developing high blood pressure because losing excess weight can result in a significant improvement in that blood pressure. Estrogen medication is related to high blood pressure and may increase the blood pressure since estrogen is a salt retainer. Atherosclerosis is another cause because narrowing and hardening of the arteries also can raise blood pressure. Alcohol raises blood pressure and lack of exercises raises blood pressure. Now, to have a healthy lifestyle as a method of treatment, it is recommended to severely reduce your salt intake. Limit salt intake to less than 2,000 milligrams per day. That's less than 1 teaspoon of salt. Don't add salt to your meals or in cooking. Avoid obviously salty products such as processed meats, crackers, soy sauce, salted popcorn, salted nuts, potato chips, French fries, and many other refined processed cereals, which often have salt added to them. And bread and breakfast cereals can also be high in salt. Remember, 3/4 of our salt intake comes from processed foods and restaurant meals. In general, eat less processed foods and more unprocessed fruits and vegetables, legumes, and whole grains, and get down into your ideal weight. Walk, get some regular exercise, avoid alcohol, and make sure you see your doctor if you have high blood pressure. Work with your doctor to reduce that medication as you make changes to a healthier lifestyle.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today on Health and Longevity is David Rosensweet, MD. Dr. Rosensweet is a nationally known lecturer and frequent presenter at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. He is a principal investigator for a scientific study of female hormones sponsored by Metrics Clinical Laboratory. He is author of a book, which we'll be talking about today, called The Target Method, A Woman's Guide to Navigating Menopause. He is organizer of a national summit committee on the treatment of women in menopause with bioidentical hormones, and formerly on the board of directors of the American College of Advancement in Medicine and chairman of its endocrine committee. Dr. Rosensweet graduated from the University of Michigan Medical School in 1968, and he has been in private practice since 1971 and has had offices in New Mexico, California, and Colorado, and is currently in practice in Southwest Florida. Formerly the clinical physician involved in the very first nurse practitioner training program in the U.S. and in charge of health promotion for the state of New Mexico. He teaches health professionals about the treatment of women in menopause with bioidentical hormones. So, Dr. Rosensweet, thank you so much for being with us today here on Health and Longevity.
Thank you, John.
Well, you know, I know in the whole area of anti-aging medicine, in the whole area of hormones and hormone replacement, there are some controversies. How safe are these hormones? Or let's start off, are hormones dangerous?
Well, to give you the short answer, and I've been a lover of the medical research as a student in all my professional career, in my many deep dives into it, I'd like to make a blanket statement that hormones do not cause cancer.
Okay, because that is a concern that people bring up, and whether a woman could get breast or uterine cancer by taking them.
Now, I'd like to elaborate on that a bit if I'm
sure.
Right. Now, hormones are powerful. And anyone who's being treated with hormones, if they're being overdosed, whatever it is, thyroid, adrenal hormones, cortisone, there's going to be a problem. These substances are very powerful. You want to get it right, for one thing. And, of course, a major controversy arose in 2002. Up until that time, menopausal women were being treated very freely with a horse urine-derived estrogen called Premarin, and also one called Prempro. And it turned out that a large study was funded for the purpose of trying to demonstrate to doctors that there was more benefits than just alleviating menopausal symptoms. Because doctors knew that the incidence of cardiovascular disease was less in younger women than it was in younger men, always attributed it to the hormones involved, and that the incidence equalized around the age of 60. So they thought that there was good evidence that heart disease would be alleviated, and thus more of the Premarin and Prempro could be prescribed. Well, the study blew up on them, and in 2002 it was discovered that the women using Prempro, not the Premarin, had a very small but statistically significant increase in the incidence of breast cancer and coronary artery disease. The study was continued. The Premarin arm of the study, the use of estrogens, never was stopped because there was not that increase. In fact, there was shown to be a lesser incidence of any significant illness in women treated with Premarin than women receiving no treatment at all. The problem was in a molecule of very artificial progestin, it's called Provera. Now, the study design was troubled. There was lots of errors in how they set up that study, big mistakes. Study committees were assigned to review the whole studies. And sure enough, they discovered many faults of that study, really diminishing the power of that data. And at the same time, the cat was out of the bag once that hit the press and hit the streets. And to this day, people have a fear of hormones because of the issues around Provera. I would like to clarify this. I did make the statement that cancer is not caused by hormones. And yet, if a woman, for example, has a breast glandular cancer, one of the most common kind, that is very much like the parent glandular cell from which it derived genetically. The cell looks like and behaves like a breast glandular tissue, which is very sensitive to estrogen and progesterone. It has something called estrogen and progesterone receptor sites. If a woman has that cancer and you give her hormones, bioidentical, Premarin, whatever you give her, you're most likely going to cause an increased rate of growth of those hormones. I'm sorry, of the cancer. And so cancer, we're all vulnerable to cancer. And the older we get, the more vulnerable we are. We're vulnerable to illness for a wide variety of understandable and even mysterious reasons. And people come into the menopause having small cancers. They take 10 to 15 years to really develop from one cell into a mass that you can palpate, you can feel. And so if that woman has already developed a breast glandular cancer called well-differentiated type, then if you give her hormones, that's likely to grow a little faster. That's the worst case scenario. Now, again, I'm going to state, in my opinion, and after all the review I've done, the hormones never caused the cancer. They just facilitated the growth of it.
I see.
Now, let me look at, I'm sorry to talk so long, and please.
No, that's fine.
I'd like to give you the flip side. It's very well known that as a woman loses her hormones, she has a high likelihood of developing bone loss because estrogens, for example, and so is progesterone, are so important for the retaining of healthy bones. In fact, they're far and above the most powerful thing that affects bone and bone loss. So the loss of the hormones leads to bone loss. Many women, as they enter menopause, have cognitive issues. They're not thinking as clearly. Their memory is slipping. And even our medical literature shows that women who have Alzheimer's, some of them are at risk from having the low hormones. The health of the vagina and the bladder, so many women as they grow older, they develop a laxity, a weakness of all muscles in their body. They know it. They can see it in their triceps area. You got more flab there. They have more trouble getting out of a chair. They also lose the strength of the major muscle that supports the bladder, the levator ani, it's called. And as that happens, you start getting incontinence, you get frequency and nocturia, and you wind up with Depends, those diapers that are like underpants that, you know, so many elderly women have. The statement that I make when I'm teaching doctors about all this is there may be risk, although again, I say the risk is very misunderstood in not taking hormones, but there's almost a certainty of a multitude of problems from not retaining sufficient levels of hormones to affect the coronary arteries, the brain, the bones, the muscles. So as a final thing, I'd like to say, as a senior medical student, we were getting a lecture from a gerontologist, and he said, you all know so much about diagnosis, and you got 1,000 diagnoses that older people could have, but let me tell you what's really happening to them. They're losing their muscle. They can't stand and walk as stably, and they're falling onto osteoporotic bones. They're going to the hospital, some for the last time. Sarcopenia, folks, that's giving them so much trouble. So the loss of the ovarian hormones, the androgens, will lead to sarcopenia, as you can, anyone who's in practice knows. So again, my statement is, there may be risks from taking hormones. There's almost a certainty of big, substantial problems from allowing diminished hormone levels to carry on and on and on. Sorry to be so long-winded there, John.
No, that's good. This is an important topic, so we want to get that information out. Now, are there reasons why a woman should consider taking hormones in perimenopause?
Well, it's the ideal time. You know, across the board in medicine, I mean, we wish people, as you know so well, would have healthy nutrition from the day they're born.
Right.
Or if they discover as adolescents that it's better that they get on better diets, healthier food, well, it'll be good then.
Right.
The sooner the better is a general principle in all health. The sooner you can catch something, the better off you are. And it's doubly true in the perimenopause because the first thing that happens to a woman is she stops ovulating. Her progesterone diminishes prior to stopping ovulating. She no longer balances her estrogen with the progesterone. She gets overstimulation of breast glandular tissue, cramps, lots of issues, fibroids, leads to so much surgery, so much hysterectomy, and so much could be prevented by just picking up when a woman's progesterone is diminishing and treating her with progesterone. So much good can be done if you can catch a woman early as her progesterone is declining, which could occur years before she stops menstruating.
Right. Now, should a woman strive to keep or return to her menstrual period?
Well, I'm a strong advocate of no. There's different opinions here.
Yeah, there is.
Field. But I believe very strongly in no need to, for one thing. What we've learned from the medical research, and it's very clear on this, is it takes so little of replenishing of estrogen and progesterone and then eventually testosterone and DHEA to do great good. In order to restore a period or sustain a period, you have to have hormone levels much, much higher, 3 to 10 times higher than a young woman who's naturally menstruating has. Sounds odd. I could go on to explain why that's so, but I can tell you for sure it's so. So any woman who is 60 years old and says she's kept her period going because she's on hormones or she got her period to return, I can guarantee you through testing, because we've tested these women, they're on 3 to 10 times the amount of estrogen and progesterone they needed that young women have. The period go on is not a simple matter of physiologic hormone levels. That's for sure. And I've demonstrated that to doctors many, many times in actual hormone studies that I've done in menstruating women. Now, on the flip side of it, our medical literature is super clear that it doesn't take much to protect the vagina, to protect the bones, to protect the... it takes so little. It's amazing to protect the cognition. Sometimes with cognitive losses, you need a little more estrogen, but you don't need useful levels of estrogen. And since many women are electing to have hormones for many, many years, decades, it all comes down to me to, I'm a low-dose guy. Mm-hmm. And the women can get the benefit. They can alleviate their symptoms that are giving them trouble. They can feel good, feel energetic, think clearly, protect their arteries and bones and brain and bladders, vaginas, with very low doses. So that's what I'm a strong advocate of. And like I say, if you start getting into super physiologic levels of any hormone you can name, sooner or later you are going to get in trouble.
I see.
We've learned that in medical history.
Right. Let's say there's a woman that's taking hormones. Is there a time that they should stop taking hormones, like at a certain age?
Well, you know, if you listen to what the common understanding is about that, you're going to hear only give women hormones for a short period of time. I feel very, very differently about that. And so do a lot of women. I mean, they get on the hormones, they like the hormones, they feel good, they've got a lot of energy, they're thinking clearly, they have libido, they're not losing their muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've really learned this from, because I've been a doctor for quite a while, I've had an opportunity to my patients, very old, much elderly women, in their late 80s and early 90s.
Oh.
And I started seeing the living proof of what the gerontologist taught us as medical students. Older people have so many things that are going not well for them. They don't like it.
Right.
They don't like wearing Depends. They don't like being in their bed. They don't like having a very difficult time getting out of their chair or not walking or having to walk with a walker. They'd much prefer not to do that. In order to do that, you've got to maintain muscle strength, for example. And what I've seen in the elderly, if we treat them, we've actually have a hormone combination. I never prescribe hormones in fixed combinations except to the elderly, because you have to give them something they can easily do. And we have a transdermal hormone combination that we have reeled women back from not being able to stand, not be able to get out of a chair, not be able to walk. It's quite dramatic. In fact, on our teaching website, we've got videos of my mother-in-law and my mother, who are my first patients, that we help restore cognition and help them restore muscle strength. And there's a video of my mother-in-law who could not get out of a wheelchair.
Oh, really?
And that, what the video shows is she's sitting on a low couch, a low soft couch, and she stands up off that couch not using her hands, which is really remarkable. If you watch older people, they tend to use their hands, need their hands, to get out of a chair, very much so. And she got a big smile on her face. And, you know, that was the result of, you know, 6 months, a year of treating with a hormone combination. So to do a lot of good for the elderly is as rewarding as it is to do good for anybody. I mean, so I say, you know, each case has to be individualized. But I say it's great to treat the elderly. So much good can be done for them. So as long as they're on earth, they're walking, they're talking, they're not falling and breaking, and they're not being in Depends.
Right. Now, if a woman's taking hormones, are there some that are better or safer than others?
Well, I, from the very get-go, when I started treating a woman in menopause 21 years ago, I did so because I had heard about bioidentical hormones. I had known very well that women were being treated with hormones derived from the urine of pregnant mares. I'm not faulting that original manufacturing process, but a colleague of mine, I think you know this doctor quite well, Dr. Jonathan Wright, said, since we have pure estradiol and pure estriol and pure progesterone and pure testosterone available, because it exists in plants and the pharmaceutical companies are extracting it in a pure form, why don't we treat women with the pure hormone?
Mm-hmm.
Thus was born the term bioidentical. And, you know, one of the things that's so beautiful in the medical literature is all this fear that's out there about hormone treatment. There are now many studies that treating women with bioidentical hormones lessens their risk of breast cancer, etc. This is well demonstrated in the medical literature to me. Why in the world wouldn't you choose the same molecule that's in the human body?
Right. Now, what are these bioidentical hormones, where are they derived from? The yams, right? And soy?
Common belief, and they are present in yams.
Okay.
But the major source that the hormones are getting purified out of are soybeans. I mean,
yes,
we look a lot different than plants, but biologically, we've got a lot of similarities. And these plants have our hormones, or shall we say, we have theirs. At any rate, they're identical.
Mm-hmm.
And soy is the most significant source. So pharmaceutical companies, manufacturers, acquire soy fields, and they purify. They're able to extract the pure hormones out of soybeans. And they
right.
do that, and then they make them available to certain type of pharmacists called a compounding pharmacist, the old-fashioned kind that make up their own stuff. So I can't think of a reason in the world to do anything other than the exact molecule that's in the body.
And these are safe. I mean, you know, there's some people that get scared. They hear, well, I can't eat tofu or I can't eat soybeans because of the estrogens, and they're worried about...
And indeed, a small percentage of the human population, but they're... If you have these kind of sensitivities, you don't feel like you're a small part of it. Have problems with soy, but not with these.
Right.
Because the extraction process is the manufacturing process is very elegant, very exquisite. These pharmaceutical companies, they know how to get these things so pure that they lose their allergenic potency. They lose the part of the soybean that it can provoke allergies. So I've never run into an incident. I've run into incidents, rare, that women have a mild skin response, reactivity, or rash from what the hormones are put in. Because when you're taking a hormone and you're rubbing it on your skin, 99.7% of what you're rubbing on your skin is what the hormone is put in. It's called a carrier. It needs to be that way. And, you know, about 0.3% is the actual hormone itself. So occasionally there's a mild, mild allergic response to what you put the hormone in.
Now, you're in Florida. If a woman's trying to find a physician who prescribes these types of hormones, where should they go?
Well,
or learn about them?
Over the last long period of time, I've been training physicians in the method that I use and nurse practitioners all over the United States. So if they go to our website, they can find a physician.
And what's that website?
www.thetargetmethod.com.
Now let's talk about that, because that's the title of your book, The Target Method, A Woman's Guide to Navigating Menopause. Tell us about your book.
Well, my first book that I wrote on menopause, I wrote about 15 years ago, because I thought that it was important that women understand, or it could benefit women to understand, a certain part of the menopause process, so they themselves, when they went out into the world to work with practitioners, health professionals, they had a good idea what they wanted, because very often the health professionals were new to the whole field of menopause and hormone treatment. So I thought it was good to educate women, and a lot of my women patients, they like to learn things about menopause. I wrote that book. It was a lot of fun writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my knowledge changed and it increased over the years. I decided, instead of keep on writing an updated edition of that book called Menopause and Natural Hormones, I wrote a new one that I thought was even more oriented to the woman herself. Here's a woman going into menopause. She's heard a lot of things that make her uncomfortable. She needs to do things, from my perspective, to get her on the right path. And that's why we called it A Woman's Guide to Navigating Menopause. because basically what she really needs to do is find the right professional. And the more she knows, the better. It's not necessary. If she links up with a knowledgeable health professional, like a physician or nurse practitioner who's knowledgeable in the field, that's really what she needs. But a really elegant menopause treatment program involves dose discovery that works by the physician or nurse practitioner and the patient becoming a team, in which the dosages are starting low and they're gradually increased till a woman alleviates her own symptoms of insufficiency. And so if a woman knows a certain amount, it's beneficial. And then there's women who really like to know a lot about it, and this is really for the women.
Okay. Well, we're coming to the end here, so if someone wants to obtain the book and get more information about hormones and bioidentical hormones and your work, how do they find out about it?
Well, again, if they go to www.thetargetmethod.com, the book's available there, the Find a Physician is available there, and if they send our organization an email, we'll look into the physicians we've trained. And, you know, there's a lot of physicians in the United States. We're not the only educational source for women in menopause these days. There's a lot of them. So a lot of women could just look online to see anyone who's working with bioidentical hormones in their local area.
Okay, once again, the website is www.thetargetmethod.com, and that's the title of the book, The Target Method, A Woman's Guide to Navigating Menopause. And I want to thank you so much, Dr. Rosensweet, for being with us today. We wish you the best of success as you educate women about the importance of bioidentical hormones and educate people who benefit from this target method.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much for all the work that you do.
Okay, thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for today's program. Remember to visit our website to listen to all our programs at healthandlongevityradio.com. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.